Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
College recruiting, high school prospects, and more. This is Recruiting with Oregon Live's Andrew Nemec. Brought to you by Power Rents, your local family-owned independent equipment rental company in Portland, Salem, and Vancouver. Online at powerrents.com.
Cooey!
Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan, Odyssey app, and 1080thefan.com.
Hello and welcome to Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan.
How you doing over there, buddy?
You know what? I've been losing sleep the last... what day was the Niner trade again?
Like 2.5 weeks ago?
I'm struggling. I've woken up legitimately.
You're an insane person.
Yes, I'm struggling. Because this is my thing, is prospects and the scouting of it. And so I'm losing my mind that they have the number 3 pick. I'm losing my mind. They have had, we just saw a stat on social media that they've only had two quarterbacks since 2003 that have played two seasons where they played 13 games or more. And one of those two did it 5 years apart in two different stints with the team. So they've only had since 2003 one quarterback who's had back-to-back seasons of being the starter playing more than 13 games.
Colin Kaepernick.
And it's Colin Kaepernick.
Yes. Alex Smith, the other one, by the way.
In 2006 and 2011. So I'm struggling. And by the way, so are Niner fans. I went and covered a high school football game last week. I went and covered Grant Jefferson. I got a chance to see Lamar Washington, the 4-star linebacker out of Jefferson. Got a chance to see Trajan Williams again, the recent Oregon commit. By the way, undershirt when he takes off his gear is an Oregon shirt. So he made sure to let everybody know. Locked in, solid, very happy. But I wore my Niner hat. And multiple people were like, dude, I'm struggling. Or not exact those exact words, but I'm having such a hard time with this. Or,
well,
oh,
I'm
so nervous.
That all of those people are not waking up early in the morning to read more about the Niners' potential draft pick.
I've legitimately woken up 5-6 times in the middle of the night and gotten up. Like, not, okay, I'm up. It's 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning. I'm going to go read about this for an hour. I'm going to go listen to a podcast.
I have never had anything in my sports life do to me what this is doing to you.
Oh, I'm ruined.
And like, I knew that you were a Niners fan, but I didn't realize that you were a Niners fan.
Yes.
To this level. And yeah, this is pretty intense, man.
It's the only sports team that I am truly like kind of weird about. Cause I don't have a college rooting interest. I like it when Oregon and Oregon State do well. Cause I cover those teams. I watch their games. I know people think I watch the Duck games way more than the Beaver games, but that's not true. I watch the Beavers a ton too. The Blazers I like, but I like at a distance. I don't watch their games a ton. I guess I'm kind of a Mariner fan, but like very, like I check the box score. I don't watch their games or anything. Maybe
so it's Niners or bust.
It's kind of Niners or bust. Yeah. And this gets right into my wheelhouse. They've traded for the number 3 pick. There's a number of quarterbacks involved. Who are they going to take? And I don't hate Mac Jones the way everyone else does. I think he's a pretty good quarterback. But I want them to take Justin Fields. And I'm not just saying that parroting what a lot of people think because he ran a 4-4. there's a lot of reasons, and we don't have to get into all of it because it's not that important. But believe me, if you want me to do a full hour, as you heard before the show, me listing stats and statistics and thoughts, and then you'd say, well, what about this? And I was like, well, did you know his offensive tackle on the, you know, his left tackle is this, and his right guard is this, and his center is this. I know the whole thing, man. I'm completely out of control.
I was trying to have a conversation back and forth with you, and everything I brought up, you instantly had like 17 facts ready to go, and I'm like, oh my god.
Oh, I've spent so much time. I'm galaxy braining. This is the first sports thing I've ever galaxy brained myself into, where like you could probably at some point in any day convince me of random statistics, and I'm like, yeah, I'm down. Take that guy. I mean,
we did that once when Will was your producer and he was in here. We were like, what's the most outrageous stat that you can pretend is real? Remember
that's
that
right.
Conversation?
Yes.
Yeah. So okay, so you want Justin Fields.
Yes.
Will you be beside yourself if they take Mac Jones?
Yes. I honest to goodness, because we have a show that night. I have a show that night. Have I honest to goodness thought about, but I'm not going to be able to do it, thought about asking Jeff if I can have the day off in case they take Mac Jones over Justin Fields, because I'm not going to be able to deal with it emotionally? Yes. I've honestly thought about it. Like, legitimately discussed it with Chantel.
Wonderful.
And she's like, you're not taking the day off if they don't take the quarterback you want. You're a fool. Go to work.
We need money, Andrew.
We need money.
Yeah, I have this a little bit with the Yankees, but not to that level. Like yesterday on the baseball show on the Hot Corner, we were watching the end of the Yankees Orioles game, and the Yankees lost in extra innings, and I was like going through the highs and lows of a, you know, game 7 of the season or whatever it was, and they were making fun of me for it. And it's like, this matters to me, man. But I also don't wake up at 2 a.m. reading about Yankees stuff and listening to the podcast. It's just more of a day by day, I live and die by the team kind of thing.
I love sports. I love sports. I mean, you know, Andrew Luck was a quarterback that in high school, my dad and I thought was great. His first couple starts at Stanford, we thought he was awesome. And it was like, all right, we're buying tickets to go to a Stanford game. We have to go watch this guy because he's going to be the next, you know, sure thing, sure fire quarterback. We want to see him before he's that guy. So we went and saw him, and like 3 weeks later that started the buzz of, could Andrew Luck end up being a number one overall, but could he be a first round pick? That's when that buzz began. We went and saw him, road trip, because we have to go see this guy before. We went to the Final Four in Houston, and my dad was like, look up the prospects. See, Rice has a pretty good baseball program. See if they have a prospect. If they have a prospect, let's get tickets during the day when we're not at the Final Four, the in-between day. And it was Anthony Rendon. So we ended up going to 3 baseball games to just watch Anthony Rendon hit and just geek out over Anthony Rendon. So this has been part of kind of my childhood, right? I mean, for the high school basketball season every year in Oregon high school sports, my dad would take the first round day off and we'd go to Memorial Coliseum and watch the first round all day. So I'd miss school. I would just like, it's first round of the basketball. We're leaving. Mm-hmm. So I grew up with that. And through all the reporting I've done and getting to know players and stuff, I don't have a rooting interest in college anymore. I don't have the time to invest in a full baseball season. The Blazers, again, I have a distant relationship with. I like the Blazers. I watch every 7th game or so. The Niners are my only team, and I love sports. I mean, I do it for a living.
It's easy to watch the once a week.
It's easy. I can schedule it. I don't miss it. You know, it's what I do. It's the only sport that I like absolutely have to see. And here they are with an opportunity to evaluate a game changing program, franchise altering prospect at the quarterback position, which is what I love to do anyway. So it's like, you be the GM, which is just in my wheelhouse. And that is why. Have I created a Madden franchise and downloaded a roster that has Justin Fields on it and drafted him with the number 3 pick and won him an MVP already? Yes, I have. I'm not healthy, man. I'm not healthy.
That's even an extra step further.
It's terrible.
Oh my God.
It's terrible.
Not only have you said you were doing mock drafts online, you did a real Madden draft.
Yes.
And made him good.
Yes. Which was not hard, by the way.
Did you play on easy?
No. I'm
all Madden.
I'm very good at Madden. Yes.
Did you play all Madden?
Yes.
Cool. So the computer cheats.
The computer cheats.
At that level, it's like the random game where the linebacker floats 9 yards across the field to get an interception.
I led the NFL in touchdown passes and interceptions.
Oh.
But I won the MVP.
Okay.
So.
So you do throw a lot of picks still.
I took NyQuil the other night because I knew I'd get up. I was like, I can't do it. So I took NyQuil to go to sleep. I don't have a cold or anything.
Well,
it's bad.
Every once in a while, that's okay to do if you've not been sleeping well.
I'm in a dark, dark place. We have a really good show tonight. And it's mostly about recruiting.
You really adopted the doc. I was born in it.
That was not a good impression, but that is a great line. I don't know why your guy is happy British.
I mean, what is his accent? He's got the freaking mask on. I don't know.
Yeah.
You can be whatever you want it to be.
There's a line in the plane he says, you're talking about Bane.
Yes.
There's a line in the plane he says at the beginning, and I used to absolutely do it. Like, I recorded it, and it was exactly like the movie one, but I don't remember the line now. And now I'd have to do it on the air if we found it. If we find it, I'll try to do it.
In the plane?
In the plane when they hijack the plane in the beginning.
Yeah,
he says a line. Like his first line.
I remember when I first
started. And
it's
like croaky, and I can do it like I could do it absolutely perfect, sounded like the movie.
Nice.
Like exactly. I recorded it and played it with it, and it sounds like the movie. Very but nice. I don't know what the line is. So we can look it up. Maybe I'll do it. Oregon State, can we just say, I'm just going to tease it. I don't know if I'm supposed to. Who cares? Oregon State is getting two commitments here in the next few days. I don't know exactly when. We're talking football here. I don't know exactly when, but they're pretty good commitments. Like the kind that you get excited about at home. Oregon State has something real, a pair of something reals, to get excited about. That probably could be a drop, but doesn't have to be. Oregon State, going to get a pair of commitments. Pretty exciting. Good news for the Beavers is coming over the weekend. I don't know exactly what days they are coming. Those kids have not made announcements. They have not set decision dates, so it might come out of nowhere, but something to get excited about. So the first one is coming. I do know this. The first one's coming more than a day before the second one. So it's not going to be like a bang, bang Saturday thing or a bang, bang Sunday or a bang, bang Tuesday here in the next 4 or 5 days. They are going to be apart from one another. So look for that. Also, Darius Clemens, the Under Armour All-American, the Westview wide receiver, the four-star wide receiver, is going to be on the show. He picked up an offer from Alabama this month. So we got to talk to him about Alabama, Oregon, an Under Armour All-American invite. And what's really funny about this kid is now I've been doing this long enough. He started coming to camps when he was like in the seventh or eighth grade. And he was like this really small kid who had potential. There was no, I mean, it was obvious when he was like a middle schooler. He was the best of the middle schoolers. And he would go and compete with the high school kids. And they would just jam him at the line. I'm talking about when he was in seventh grade going against like juniors and seniors. And just get wrecked. And then slowly over time, it was like, oh, look at little Darius. He's getting bigger. He's holding his own. Oh, Darius not so little anymore. And now it's, oh, Darius ran a laser 4.38, 4.39. 40, and he's now 6'2", 6'3", 220 pounds. So we'll talk to Darius. I've had a long, long relationship with Darius. And then Colson Loveland will be on the show. The four-star tight end, Oregon State, was named his leader not that long ago, earlier this spring. Since then, he's picked up an offer from Alabama. How does he weigh that? Oregon State loves him. I think Oregon State could make him a focal point in their offense. He wouldn't be just another guy at Alabama. I don't mean to disparage him like that, but he would not be the headliner of their class. He would not be the headliner of the last three or four classes the way Colston would be for Oregon State. How does he weigh all that? Opportunity cost. He has also set an official visit to Oregon State, and he took a trip to Corvallis himself last weekend. So how did that visit go? Obviously, he can't visit with the coaches, so he had to do that, just kind of checking things out. We'll ask him about that. That is going to be an action-packed show. I will also preview Westland Newberg. I'm covering that game tomorrow night. For people who don't know, we are nearing this is the last weekend of the season. Westland's number one. Newberg is either your number two or number three team in the state. Personally, eyeball test, having seen Central Catholic, the other team that would be in the discussion for number two, I do think probably Newberg is number two. Central Catholic's very good, but they're very young along the offensive line, and they're very questionable at quarterback. They play two different guys. Sometimes it's really good. Sometimes it's really rough. I think they would struggle potentially against West Lynn, who's a senior-laden elite team. So I think we're seeing essentially a faux state championship game tomorrow night when West Lynn takes on Newberg. So we'll talk about that, the rankings, how this shortened season has gone, and more. There's a lot to get to. But next, Under Armour All-American, Oregon, Oregon State, and Alabama offered four-star wide receiver Darius Clemens joins the show next on Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick on Tending the Fan.
Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan, Odyssey app, and 1080thefan.com.
He's an Under Armour All-American. He had offers from the Ducks and Beavers. He added an offer from Alabama last week. He is Darius Clemens, the four-star wide receiver out of Westview. Darius, how you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Good. I bet you're doing good. I counted your offer sheet. You're up to 30. I remember, again, and this, I don't mean to embarrass you, but I remember when you were like a middle school kid and people would, you know, the juniors and seniors at camps would get their hands on you in press coverage and that would shut you down. You're a lot different kid than you were, you know, when you were younger. Did you ever anticipate it being like this? 30 offers from all over the country, Under Armour All-American, Alabama, Michigan. Is it overwhelming at times? How do you feel about it?
I wouldn't say it's overwhelming, but at the same time, I didn't say I expected it. But I knew my hard work would pay off eventually, you know.
You're putting in a tremendous amount of work. I don't know very many high school kids who are your size and can run a sub 4.44 40. You ran that last summer. When you ran that 40 time, did that alter your recruitment much at all? Did you start to get more interest from programs around the country?
I think so. That definitely helped me get some of my bigger offers, but it was just all a result of hard work and what things I do with Aaron Woods outside of the football field, you know.
He's helped a tremendous amount. Where do you get that work ethic? Because you are somebody who puts in work year round, and it almost is like going into the lab. I mean, you go in and really grind to get your body exactly right to play receiver. There aren't many kids your age or young men your age doing what you do. Where do you get that work ethic, and when did that really start for you?
In eighth grade, I started working out Grind Time Fit with Aaron Woods, and I'd say just like being in that environment with him and the people that he trains, like NFL receivers like Kendrick Bourne, I think I'm a product of my environment. I've been surrounded by hard workers this whole time, you know.
What'd you think of the Alabama offer?
It was really cool. I mean, Alabama, they won the national championship this year, and they've won a whole bunch in the last 10 years. So, I mean, knowing that one of the best programs in all of college football is vying for my services, it's really reassuring.
When you see what they've produced at the wide receiver position recently, Devontae Smith, obviously, Jalen Waddle, Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs, probably, unless barring something really crazy, that'll be four first-round picks at wide receiver in the last 2 years. Is that what appeals to you about a school that they produce NFL talent? Are you looking for high academic? Are you looking for a blend? What is it that's going to make a school stand out over the others?
It's definitely a balance of both, and I feel like I won't know what the exact balance is until I make a commitment decision, you know. But until then, there's definitely a bunch of schools I'm considering.
You've got 30 offers. You can only take 5 official visits. You can obviously take some trips yourself. How do you start to weigh things from your initial 30? For a lot of kids, they just have an opportunity to visit all the schools that offer them, but that's probably pretty unrealistic for you. Do you kind of just say, okay, these are 10 to 15 schools I feel like I'd be really interested in, and build relationships with those coaches and start to whittle it down from there? Or do you talk to all 30 plus staffs to try to get it down to a more manageable number? How does that work?
Honestly, I feel like COVID in a way has been a blessing because it really made it easy for me to know which schools have genuine relationships with me, because some schools offer me, I never talk to them again. But a lot of the schools that I made my top 10 list and schools I've signed officials to, those are the schools that I have the best relationships with. So, I mean, I feel like I owe officials to the schools I have the best relationships with.
What's your relationship like with Oregon State? We'll go over both of the in-state schools. How much are you talking to the Beavers?
I talk to Coach Smith and Coach Kafenta Hinson there almost every week at Oregon State. So we're in really good contact, and they've been on, they're my first offer, so they've been on me ever since the beginning.
Oregon also made your top 10. I'll go over that whole list, but Oregon also made your top 10. What's your relationship like right now with the Ducks?
They offered me a little bit later than Oregon State, but I'd say they're probably the two best relationships I have as far as my offers go. I mean, I talk to them every week, if not every day. And I trust those guys, and I know they have their best interest for me.
You announced the top 10, Auburn, Arizona, Stanford, Northwestern, Oregon, Notre Dame, Oregon State, Penn State, Michigan, USC. Does Alabama make it a top 11 just because they're Alabama, or do you still keep it at 10 and that's a closed 10? How do you reflect on that offer, and where does Alabama stand in terms of the top 10 now?
If Alabama continues to do the due diligence and recruit me, I think they'd definitely make it a top 11. But if they don't take the time to recruit me, I don't see why I need to open it up, you know?
We're talking to four-star wide receiver Darius Clemens, recently selected for the Under Armour All-American game and picked up an offer from Alabama. A lot of times when guys have a top 10, realistically, especially when they haven't been able to make visits for a long time, they have a couple schools in mind. They definitely know they want to take official visits too. You get five of them. For fans who don't know, school pays for it. They pay for the hotel. They pay for your flight, and you only get five of those. Do you have any schools in mind that for sure will get an official visit? Do you have any in your top 10 that you know you won't take an official visit to because potentially you could just drive there yourself for an unofficial?
As of right now, four officials scheduled. I'm going to Auburn, USC, Michigan, and Penn State, and I'm going to keep an official in my back pocket for the fall.
Okay. Oregon State, in terms of an official visit, just because they're maybe not getting one, that doesn't mean they're eliminated for you, I know. Is that just a distance thing, or if they're in the mix, they need to get that fifth visit?
I think it's more of a distance thing, and I've been down there multiple times, and I could be there an hour and a half if I really needed to, you know. And there's like, I haven't had the chance to visit a lot of schools because of COVID, so I think it's important for me to get on campus at the schools I'm also considering, you know.
You went to Utah for your fall football season. You wanted to get a season under your belt rather than risk not having one. How was the trip, and did you feel like spending a few months in Utah was worth it in terms of your development?
It was great. I'm actually super fortunate I got to go there. Like, I had parents and family that supported me in doing that, and I feel like going there was definitely worth it. I got to play football, a really high level of football, where I had great teammates and a lot of fun, and I'm just glad I got to compete, you know.
Does it help to see a different state? I know you were, you know, Utah is a great state for talent. You probably played against a number of really talented guys. That is one criticism of the state of Oregon is you may play a whole season in the Metro League and maybe only face two or three other prospects, not necessarily All-American prospects. There were multiple high-level recruits in Utah. Does it help to kind of get a taste for a little bit more elevated competition in pads?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like competition only breeds success. I mean, going against the best isn't going to make you anything but better.
When do you want to make a decision on a commitment?
I'm not sure. Sometime before signing day. So I think that's December 17th. So I got until then, at least.
Until December 17th. But no, is it possible you do the thing where you commit and sign, but then you don't announce anything until the Under Armour game so you can do it on national TV? Or do you feel like you're going to do it a little bit quieter than kids who do it that way or young men who do it that way?
I think the latest I go is signing day and like do it at Westview in the gym or whatever. But whenever I know where I want to go, I'm not going to wait and wait it out, you know.
Sounds good, man. Darius Clemens, Under Armour All-American wide receiver, four-star recruit out of Westview. One of the best receivers to come out of Oregon in the last 20, 30 years. Special, special talent. He's announced a top 10. He just picked up an offer from Alabama. Darius, thank you very much for joining the show to talk about your recruitment.
No, thank you for having me.
I really like Darius. It's awesome to see his development. There's been a couple kids like this for me that I've had a chance to see starting when they were in junior high or very, very young. Another one for me was Talanoa Hufanga, who was an eighth grader the first time I saw him working out with the high school kids. And I was like, oh, I haven't seen that kid before. Where's he from? Okay, this area is he a sophomore or junior? He's got a chance to be a scholarship guy if he's a sophomore or junior already. He's pretty good talent. And they said, he's an eighth grader. And I went, oh, okay, this is a different kind of kid. Obviously, he earned a fifth star at some point during his recruitment. I believe he dropped down to a four star. He went to USC, and now he's in the NFL draft and is very, very likely to be selected in the NFL draft. Darius, same kind of thing. You see him in junior high and physically not up to the level that the high school kids were, especially like prospect camps where it's all junior and seniors and most of them are all league, all state level talents. But you could tell athletically, especially when somebody told me he's an eighth grader, he's going to fill into his body and be a special talent. I'm not sure even I saw him being an Under Armour All-American and a guy who got an offer from Alabama, but he's certainly, certainly really, really young. flash potential. He was catching touchdown passes in those camps occasionally against 3- and 4-star corners, even really as a freshman. And then as a sophomore, very good. And then, you know, now easily dominating local competition. Darius Clemens, a very, very special talent. We've got to transition to another interview. Colston Loveland, the 4-star tight end. Oregon State offered him when he was a 3-star guy, had interest, not a ton of interest around the country. He has an offer from Alabama as well. We'll talk to him about his recruitment and his scheduled official visit to Oregon State next on Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick on 1080 The Fan.
Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick on 1080 The Fan, Odyssey app, and 1080thefan.com.
The state of Idaho is not known as a football factory, but they do churn out the occasional big-time prospect. And this year, this year's number one guy is 4-star tight end Colston Loveland. He's got offers from Oregon State, Arizona State, Boise State, and now Alabama. Recently visited Corvallis. We'll talk to him about that and more. But right now he joins us, and we got to welcome him into the show. Colston, thank you for joining us. Appreciate you.
Oh, thank you for letting me on.
Definitely. So I want to start here. You picked up an offer from Oregon State a few weeks ago, a few months ago. And since then, it seems like your recruitment has slowly picked up to the point that now Alabama's interested. How exciting has the last few months been for you in terms of being recognized as a prospect when you come from a state that a lot of times people kind of fly over on their way to California? They're making a stop in Idaho to see you.
Oh, these last couple months have been real good. You know, it's nice. I've met so many cool people and built so many good relationships with so many people I couldn't even tell you. But, no, it's been good, and it's crazy to think about, but I'm just glad I'm putting Idaho on the map and letting everyone know that Idaho does have ballers and don't skip over for sure.
You added a 4-star on 24/7 Sports. Obviously, that can be very meaningful for a recruitment. How much did you know that that potentially was coming, and how much of it was a surprise when you found out you're the nation's number 13 tight end?
Oh, it was pretty cool. I think I was in school one morning, and my phone just started blowing up, and I noticed that I got my 4 stars. But it was a pretty cool deal. Felt pretty good, but you know, still got to put the work in for sure.
No doubt. And then Alabama comes in and offers. I think that happened shortly after you picked up that 4th star. Did that catch you off guard, or were you building a relationship with them and kind of thought potentially the Crimson Tide were going to pull the trigger?
Oh, I was talking to them for maybe a little under a month before they offered. So it happened pretty quick, but no, I was stunned for sure. It was cool, but no, yeah, it's been good.
Recruiting right now has been pretty tough. I said, obviously, coaches stopping in your state. They can't do that. When it's metaphorical that they can check out the film in your state and offer guys in your state because nobody gets to take visits right now. But even without you getting to meet the coaches and go through the football facilities with the coaches, you took it upon yourself, you and your mom, took a trip to Corvallis here this past weekend just to kind of get a feel for campus. Why did you do that now? And what stood out about campus and what stood out about Corvallis?
Oh, we've been playing it for a little while just because of the dead period. But we were kind of busy. I was kind of busy during basketball season, or we would have went earlier. So we finally found a weekend where we're all free. So went up there. It's about a 9-hour drive. But right when I got there, it was everything I thought it was going to be. It was a beautiful campus, you know, luscious trees and plants and all that. So that was super cool. And then kind of gave me like that big town, small town vibe, if you know what I'm saying. Like, it was obviously a bigger city than what I'm from and where I've been, but everyone knows each other, and you could tell, like, everyone walking on the street, just a good relationship all around in Corvallis. That's what I definitely liked about it.
We're talking a 4-star tight end, Colston Loveland, the nation's number 13 tight end. Offers from Alabama, Arizona, Arizona State, Boise State, and Oregon State. Visited Oregon State this past weekend. There are kids I talk to or young men I talk to who would say, you know, I want to play in an LA. I want to play in Seattle, a big city. I get the sense from you that's not really what you're looking for, and every recruit is different. Corvallis appeals to you, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm open for anything, but I was really impressed with Corvallis, and like I said, again, anything's big from compared to where I'm from. So, but no, yeah, it definitely good first impression for sure.
How many people are in your high school?
Oh, there's about 320.
320. Are you, I mean, humble brag, but are you clearly the best athlete at your school? I mean, have you been the best athlete in your school in all the major sports since you were like in the second or third grade? Or are there a bunch of kids in your grade that just are in your school that happen to be pretty good athletes?
Yeah, I think overall I'm probably the best athlete, but there's for sure some really good athletes coming out of Gooding, especially, you know, years before me, like my older brother's class, there was a bunch of athletes, and before that, and Gooding overall produces really good athletes, but yeah, no, we got some talent on our team and use it in different ways, so I'm excited for that.
So do you play 8-man?
No, we play 11.
Okay. And, so, and just everybody has to play two ways, or how does that work?
So we usually have about 60 kids on our team.
Oh, wow.
Which between varsity and junior varsity. So mm-hmm. A lot of people are playing both ways. Like, I think this last year we had, I would say, probably close 8 or 9 were playing both ways. Not all the time, but a lot of the time.
That's wild, which, man.
That's got to happen in a small town.
No, yeah. No doubt, man. That's very cool. So the big thing I think on a visit, especially when a parent goes, and especially when the parent is mom, it's really important that mom likes the trip. Because if you go on the trip and say, this is awesome, and mom goes, you're not going there, I'm not comfortable with my baby boy going to that school, that's kind of the end of it. What did mom think of Corvallis?
Oh, she loved it. Both my parents are, they're not pushing anything on me or away from me. So wherever I want to go, they're sticking right by my side and they're being with me. But she loved it. We went to, we ate at this place called the Downward Dog, and, it was a super cool environment, and she loved it there and had some pretty good food too. And then we went kind of downtown Corvallis on this, I would call it a strip, but it's like, you know what I'm saying, but it was a bunch of cool dinner places and bars and just good life down there. And my mom really liked that.
Very good. Is it safe to say, and you can say no, is Oregon State your leader right now? I know about a month ago when we talked, you had said, I'd written a story that they were your leader. Are you pretty wide open, or are they still pretty much kind of in the lead for you right now?
Right now, I'm pretty wide open with everything. I'm still just taking it all in, and then wanting to go on visits everywhere that are interested, of course. And then from there, I'll have a true top whatever list. If you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense to me. I mean, especially when you're getting offers from places that you've never seen, and you're getting offers maybe from places you didn't anticipate getting offers for. It's really hard to wrap your brain around, okay, Pac-12, SEC, ACC potentially, Big Ten, weighing all your options. I imagine not being able to take visits here this past year that you've got some traveling to do. We're talking a 4-star tight end, Colson Loveland. So speaking of of your travels, you've got 5 official visits. How many have you scheduled, and where and when are you headed to what schools?
So I've got one scheduled with Oregon State right now, and that's June 18th, I believe. And then I've been talking to the University of Arizona about an official, but Oregon State's the only one set in stone right now. And then I've talked to Colorado, University of Colorado, about an official, Arizona State. So hoping to use all those 5 officials, because I definitely want to get out there and make sure, see what's best for me and my family. So.
Sounds like West Region is preferred, or just is West Region what you're familiar with so far?
That's kind of what I've been familiar with, and that's who I've been talking to most. Okay. So.
Good deal, man. I'm really excited for your recruitment. It's been fun to watch it go from this Idaho kid on film looks looks pretty good. And then, oh, he picked up a 4-star. Oh, wow, he picked up an Alabama offer. Oregon State's his favorite. This could be really exciting. This could be a fun one to cover here for 4 or 5 years. So we're rooting for the best for you. If you end up in black and orange, that'd be wonderful. But if you end up finding a better fit elsewhere, we will still root for you. Thank you, as always, for joining the show. We really appreciate you, man.
Oh, no, I appreciate you. You have a good night.
All right. I like Colson. It's not often you talk to kids who are from a small town, and I've talked about this before. This
I looked it up on the map when he talked about it.
Yeah.
It's a small town.
It's a small town. I've talked about this before, that there was a part of me at one point, and I did a whole, I think it was a whole show on, and this was a while ago under Gary Anderson. They're doing much better now, but fixing Oregon State's recruiting back then. And one of the things I mentioned was Corvallis plays up to kids from more rural areas, and that potentially there was a place where Oregon State would have more success, I thought, recruiting rather than LA, recruiting more towards the Midwest and trying to get kids from the Midwest or even from kind of the Mountain West region in terms of like Colorado, Utah, that those states, for those states, kids from those states, Corvallis appeals to them a little more than kids from Los Angeles, Seattle, some of the bigger cities in Arizona. Phoenix obviously is a big city in Arizona, and that taking those kids out of big city environment, it can be a culture shock. And I'd heard from kids from LA say there's a little culture shock, and they didn't describe it that way, but Corvallis was a lot different than where I'm from, and I'm not sure that's the fit. When you get guys who are from smaller towns, Corvallis just feels like bigger home. And you heard that from Colson Loveland. Corvallis felt like bigger home to him. And that's why,
like, big town, small town. Isn't that what he said?
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's why, and those are the kinds of kids that Oregon State is going to be able to compete for, even when they have offers from Arizona, Arizona State, Boise State, and yes, Alabama. So good job identifying this talent early before he picked up his 4-star. Good job of building the relationship, and good job of feeling out a kid to find out, hey, Corvallis is going to feel like home to him. That takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of watching film to find the good tight end out of Idaho. It means you're grinding tape. And then a nice job by the staff to build that relationship. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Colson. Like I said, I'll root for him no matter where he ends up, but it would be a fun one if he ends up in black and orange, especially with the tradition they're starting to build at the tight end position. They've got some good ones. Breaking down the end of the high school football season, it's already almost over. Who's the best team in the state? Who are some of the prospects that have helped their stock? There are a number of them. We'll break all of that down next on Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick on 10 of the Fan.
Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick on 1080 The Fan, Odyssey app, and 1080thefan.com.
I've had a good time covering high school football again. It's mostly been Saturdays, midday. They haven't started at 7 p.m. on Saturday. Been to a lot of like 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock games. And I've really enjoyed it. Seen some prospects, and I realized that first week, it'd been over a year since I'd been to a live sporting event. I cover recruiting. There's been no official visits, no unofficial visits, no camps that I've attended, and no high school games in over a year. And I'm still covering recruiting. It's literally like what kids think about what they might think about what they might think about doing is what I've been covering, which is a little rough. It's been a rough 12 months. I'm glad football's back. And it's been back in a big way in the state of Oregon. We've seen some phenomenal, phenomenal talent. And not just phenomenal talent in terms of what I think. We've seen it be recognized by the rest of the country. Look at Darius Clemens. Picks up an offer from Alabama. Riley Williams, the 2023 tight end out of Central Catholic, the nation's number 8 tight end, picked up an offer from Georgia Tech today. An ACC offer. Cole Prusha, the Tualatin standout, who might be, the state player of the year if they gave one for both sides of the ball. They give an offensive player of the year, 6A offensive player of the year, 6A defensive player of the year. They do not give like a high school Heisman. But Cole Prusha might be the best wide receiver in Oregon and one of the top 2 or 3 defensive backs in Oregon. So he picked up an offer from Oregon State this week. And I had a chance to talk to him about it. It was great. This week, he hasn't been on the radar. He's unrated. He's a 2022 kid, so there's time, but he's unrated. He's heard from schools, but no offers, no FCS offers, no Western Oregon, Linfield, none of that. He's got nothing, right? So he talks to Oregon State on the phone, and he goes out to his dad, and his dad's unloading tile from their truck, and he's like, "Dad, I think this is picking up pretty good. I think Oregon State really likes me." And the conversation continues, and then Coach Jonathan Smith gets on the phone. And he's like, hey, coach. And he's like, hey, man, I want to offer you a scholarship. And Cole talked to him, finished the conversation, and then told his dad in the driveway, and they both just broke down. And his mom is at their, he's telling, you know, I had a chance to talk to him, and he's telling me all this. So he texts his mom right away, like he's so excited, and then he realizes his mom doesn't have cell service. So she's in Montana at their lake house in Montana. And he's already done an interview. It's been in the paper. It's been online on OregonLive.com. He's, you know, everybody in the, it's been retweeted 400 times. And his mom doesn't know for several hours after. So I had a chance to talk to him on the phone like 5 hours after he got the offer. And he's like, she still doesn't know. And you could just hear the excitement and joy in his voice. And it's so fun to cover recruiting when it's like that. Because there are guys that expect it, and then there's Cole, who's earned it. He's put up monster numbers this year, and he gets an offer, and he's like, it's life-changing for him. It's life-changing for his family. He didn't necessarily anticipate a Pac-12 offer because he hadn't gotten anything yet. And I think it was a smart offer by Oregon State because I think he's that good. But he talks about it like it's life-changing. She said, I broke down. My dad broke down. I tried to tell my mom, and she still doesn't know. And it's like, it's incredible. It's incredible what it's like to cover those moments for those kids, because it's for those. I keep saying kids, and then I correct myself to young men. I've done that a bunch today. I've got to stop doing that because they're 17 and 18 years old. I feel like they seem like kids to me, but they're young men.
I think it's cool that he would get to relive it twice when he did get to tell his mom.
Yeah.
And then she has her, whatever emotions come out, that he would get to kind of relive that twice.
Well, he said like twice a day randomly, like roughly, it's an estimate. Her cell phone service will like kick in, and she'll get her update of like emails and text, and so she'll see that she has, you know, missed calls or roaming or whatever it is that, you know, she got calls. So he's like, I'm picturing her like, oh my God, you know, like, ah, and then wanting
not,
to call,
but not, able
but
to reach
not
out.
Being able to say anything to her son about it. I just like picturing that moment for her.
If you have a lake house with no cell service, wouldn't it behoove you to get like a landline there just in case? I guess maybe part of the fun is not having the cell service, right? Disconnecting from the world.
Methinks that's the point.
True. But in a situation like this, it'd be good to have an option to reach out to family.
You know, we've been saving up for your college fund, but instead we're going to use that on installing internet in our lake house. Good trade-off.
I'm not sure that's going to really blow up the college fund, but you know, I get your point.
I'm just saying they've got some extra money now that they're not using on college, it seems like, right?
True.
Westland Newberg play tomorrow night. I know Newberg is probably on most people's list, like the number three team in the state. I think Central Catholic's number two. Number one is Westland. I had them number one in my preseason rankings. I've got Newberg at two. And the reason is Central Catholic's O-line is really struggling. They've moved Amarion Winston, the Oregon commit, and he's a defensive end outside linebacker. He's playing left tackle, and he's playing left tackle because he's just a big athlete. But they tried to run block on a play against Grant, and both the left tackle and left guard drop back into pass pro instead of, you know, like pushing forward. They drop back. That's an issue. And I think against a team like Westland, that would get exposed. And I'm not airing anything out. Steve Pine talked about this fully on the record after a game. He said, I really like the progress of this team because they lost. They won the state title last year. They lost the vast, vast, vast majority of the production from that team. And he said, if we'd had a full regular season, it would have been interesting to see what we would have ended up being at the end of the year. But because we're having this six-game season, I don't think we can get close to West Lynn. I think if we'd had a full season, it'd have been really interesting to see if we could have beaten that West Lynn team. But with six games, I just don't see us being able to beat a West Lynn team. This Newberg team, very good on defense. I think West Lynn is probably the favorite. I think against anyone in the state, West Lynn's probably at least a 13-point favorite. But this is essentially the state title game, West Lynn-Newberg. And what an incredible surge by this Newberg program. It wasn't that long ago that they were in the TRL and they'd make the state playoffs because their strength of schedule was so strong and they'd win one game or two games. They figured it out. They're doing a great job, and they've got 7 or 8 defenders who are all going to play small college ball somewhere, like Linfield. Not that that's bad. Linfield, Eastern Oregon, Western Oregon, and be really, really good. Thank you for listening to Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan. As always, appreciate you.